The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua and Wayne Marathon, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
We're just God himself is going to be the only thing that'll put Johnny Gargano down.
Yeah, it takes a lot, man. It takes a destroyer, a shot to the back of the head, and a bum knee. If that knee wasn't bummed, maybe he's still kicking around, but we'll get into that. It's an exciting time in wrestling, Joel. We've had back-to-back weeks now with fantastic shows on a Saturday. Apparently, there was some fantastic boxing tonight as 15-1 odd winner. Ruiz just knocked out Anthony Joshua in a great fight on DAZN. So just a great overall past 2 weeks for combat sports.
Yeah. It seems to be solid, and yeah. You know, you don't have to worry about the main roster because there's other things that will entertain you.
Yeah, I think that's been the highlight I've really seen these past 2 days. And shouts to the, you know, we weren't going to get into this as much, but the network, you know, really good night of the network. What you kind of wanted from a WWE network, they had a solid piece in Hunter. Then they followed up with that WCW What If piece. And it's kind of like, this is what I want from the WWE network is stuff like this after a nice show. It's kind of a nice night to be like, oh, yeah, you know, this is what I want from WWE. You know, this is going to come up time to time, but you couldn't help wonder after Double or Nothing and all the kind of fallout from that and the fallout of rumors in the main roster and the future of everything and the Moxley podcast about some of these guys and their futures, even after great matches tonight. That did seem to loom over the show for us and I think for some people a little bit online, but it did not hinder the show because this is one of the best takeovers that's ever happened.
Yeah, they find a way to raise the bar every time with these takeovers, and for us to get to the 25th takeover is a big deal, and Vince might still not fully know that NXT is a thing, so if we just don't tell him, he's not going to kill this nice shiny toy that we have.
Absolutely not. I think one of the highlights was you saw a picture beforehand, and you saw it on that Triple H special, is how happy Shawn and him are working together, and how much like this is kind of like a team rooting each other on. And that Hunter is the head coach, right? It's really cool to see that and see the praise everyone has and everyone working together, where I obviously don't think you see that as much in the main roster. I think they're getting each other to go on, but the head coach is obviously vacant.
Yeah, well, the head coach is a little crazy, but that's...
Yeah, but that's no here nor there. Yeah, exactly, Jinx. Let's get into the show, and you know what? We had the King of the Bros versus the King of the Backbreakers. This was maybe the best opening match in the history of NXT. If not, it's definitely at the top of there. These two went at each other. Matt Riddle showed why he was one of the best pickups from WWE in the last 2 years as far as free agents go. And Roderick Strong showed why he's considered, and you tweeted it out, one of the most underrated wrestlers in the entire world.
Oh, they had an incredible match. There's just something about the way Roderick Strong wrestles that's just incredible. I'd love to see him face Bryan in a one-on-one match in WWE. Fortunately, I think NXT's as far as Roderick's going to go, unfortunately.
Oh, 205 maybe.
Maybe. But on the flip side, Matt Riddle is just a talent. And this was probably his best match in NXT to date.
Yeah, I would think so. So who he had, what, the Ono match? The Dream match was pretty good. I think this was better than the Dream match, though. And you saw that Dream match in person.
Yeah, I would say this was better than a Dream match.
There's times in this match, and I think a good match is making you think about stuff at times. There is times in this match where I thought there was a real chance that Roddy was going to win, and maybe they'd have some kind of losing streak angle with Matt Riddle.
Yeah, can't get the big win.
Mm-hmm.
And now but he's got big win under his belt, and he's marching forward. It's a big win for him, and Roderick looked really good in it, and It's a shame, but I'd love to see Roderick eventually challenge for the heavyweight title in NXT. I think he's he's a tremendous talent, and I think not spoiling anything, but he could either face I think he could have an incredible match with Gargano, and I think he could have an incredible match with Adam Cole in the big stage.
Yeah, I think so too. He definitely looks like the next guy to be groomed to go to that spot, and there's no short of other guys, right? Like, we talked about a guy like Keith Lee. We obviously saw an ad for what looks to be Punishment Martinez. I talked about Dijakovic. Kushida is just getting going there. There's no lack of talent to go up for the title next. But Riddle definitely seems like he's the next guy. And whoever he gets to face next at NXT Toronto, it's definitely going to be a good one. And I love the slow progression of everything he does, too. It was a great free agent pickup by Hunter and those guys. And it was a close bet of him considering to go to Japan. I know AEW was a possibility, but he didn't really know what the company was or NXT. And right now it's looking like wherever he would have gone, he would have been dynamite.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And as for Roddy, I hope that this isn't the last time we see him on a singles match on a pay-per-view, because wow, Roddy was good. Like, when he came to NXT, he kind of struggled to find his character. They kind of had this, husband, dad kind of character, when really he's just a really good wrestler and he's the king of the backbreaker, and that story was fine. But since being with Undisputed, he's really found himself. He's had great tag team matches, and I'm glad now when you look at the history of Roderick Strong, you can at least point to a match that he's had as a singles competitor on a pay-per-view that's been great. He's had some great shows on NXT television. I think there was one really good Bobby Roode one that comes to mind, but I was really happy to see Roddy have a good match. And you saw in this that sometimes there's win within losses. And the way that Roddy proved himself tonight, I think he definitely proved himself, at least to the Hunters and the Regals and the Shawns in the back, that he could be at that level of a singles competitor.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's one of those things where, he's perfect in his role as Undisputed Era. That heel turn was fantastic. And just, it worked.
It really did. So I guess we can kind of give her a little star rating since we haven't done a post show for a while, but I don't think it'll get a 5. I would love to give this match a 5. It was almost a 5 to me, but getting to calm down from everything, it's probably about a 4.5.
Yeah, I'd say 4.5.
Right. And that's going to be a lot of 4. I don't think there's any match in the show that's not at least a 4. No. They're all pretty good. Next up, it has been 14 months since the last ladder match that got NXT a 5-star rating. And Darnell is probably going to get another 5-star rating. This match was just pure devastation.
This was a car crash. This was brutality. Kyle O'Reilly's lucky to be alive. Bobby Fish has a injured wing. But at the end of the day, Street Profits in their first takeover have finally gotten the tag team titles.
Yeah, it's a team that, and we did a Future Stars podcast a long time ago, Joel and I did, and D'Angelo Dawkins was someone that I kept my eye on just because I loved the charisma that guy had. He's homegrown in the PC, which is always cool to see, and Montez has done stuff in the Indies. Those guys just had the charisma. They went to Evolve and got to shine there, and, Montez was the star. I thought D'Angelo was really good in this match, but Montez was really the star of this and really bouncing up his prime. And the really cool thing about this tag team match was, like, a lot of these tag teams aren't very well known, and tonight you knew every single one of them, and every single one of them really got a chance to shine, which is terrific. That's the one really cool thing about NXT, is that you don't have to watch the weekly TV. These guys come out and practically unknown, by the end of it you know who every single one of this match is and what they do.
And it helps build up contenders. It builds up that there's a few people, that there's a group chasing after
people to be Undisputed, I'll say. But yeah, you're right, the chase is there. And I thought the Forgotten Sons looked really strong, and yep. I think that may be where they go for the Street Profits.
I would imagine so as well. But I mean, Birch and Oni look good. Undisputed Kyle almost died for us. Like, we don't deserve Kyle O'Reilly.
Like, let's get it. Like, it was like, there was a few spots where it's like, okay, Kyle's a bad man. And there's other times, like, Kyle's just the luckiest person on earth. Especially the one time when they, I think it was the Forgotten Sons, like, suplex back the ladder. And he almost had, like, a Joey Mercury situation going on.
Oh, yeah. Or the time when Bobby Fish fell on him.
Yeah, there was that as well. That wasn't very good either. There was the powerbomb, I think, from one of the front sets from Riker, I believe. That was pretty bad as well. Like, no luck for Kyle. And somehow out of this, by the end of the night, the person that's wearing a bandage or a sling isn't Kyle O'Reilly. It was Bobby Fish.
Kyle O'Reilly seemed fine. So he's just made a Teflon at this point.
Apparently. I mean, like, can we also add, too, that this guy is diabetic? Like, he has to, like, he keeps his insulin pen near the ring in case something dramatic happens. It's not somebody that could really add to it, but it's just, this guy's just a superstar and just a superhuman.
Oh, yeah. He deserves all the credit in the world.
I thought he was tremendous in that match. I just thought he was great. Montez just showed Shelton Benjamin like agility and performance in this that we've seen from Shelton in the past, and we got to see from Montez, and I agree with you. They were the right tag team to win tonight. They're a team that has a lot of charisma that the fans can get behind, and NXT tag team continues to be a standout no matter who's there. I think you and I agree that War Raiders should still be down here. I would have liked to see them in this ladder match. I don't know what's going on with them, but with their absence, rose the opportunity for these tag teams to stand out, and it worked out.
It certainly did. It absolutely did.
So I'm giving this one. I think this one, I really think it should be 5, but I think it'll probably land somewhere on the 4-7-5.
Yeah, 4-7-5 is where I'd put this as well. Just a few of the little moments there, but overall it was a good match. So it was a great match. It is something that is worth checking out, but I think 4.75 is where it lands.
Can we talk about when the one craziest spot of the night was when Montez Ford jumped over the ladder onto Riker?
The height that he got on that jump was very impressive.
That is one of the craziest spots I've ever seen in a ladder match. And then Hunter pointed it out, too, in his talk with Kathy Kelly, when the one that he jumped into the ladder, the camera guy wasn't able to get to that moment as much. Like, you still get the idea of it. Hunter said he was a little disappointed they couldn't get the full moment of him making that leap. We've seen that spot, you know, from other guys, but it would have been nice to
have seen that
full moment.
Because you have that moment and you're kind of what happened. And then when he leaps, they still kind of they get the remnants, but you still get that moment. And you're like, holy crap.
It was great. So, and then I love them in the crowd after. I love the picture with Hunter with them with the red cup. That was phenomenal as well. So new tag team champions. And then we get the return of Prince Pretty as he takes on the Velveteen Dream. No really crazy attire for Velveteen this time. He stayed kind of within the Prince character. Nothing too surprising this time as far as attire.
Yeah, it was both low-key for both of them. I liked Tyler Breeze's look. I liked what we saw from him in ring. I thought both these guys looked good. I don't think that this is done. I think that there's more coming down the line between these two. And I think this is a good feud for Velveteen to sink his teeth into.
I agree. I think these two will fight in Toronto, and I think Breeze is going to win the belt at home in Canada.
Yeah, that's not a bad place to win.
No, I love that Renard Morrow giving him the BC shadow. Both of them are proud BC natives, so that was pretty cool to have. And can I just take a pause, too? Like, you know, our one complaint last week about Double or Nothing was a little bit of the broadcast. I thought Excalibur was really good, but holy crap, Morrow Ronaldo is just on another level as a broadcaster.
Yeah, and part of the reason is I think he doesn't have a voice constantly pestering him in his ear.
No, not that Excalibur does. I think he's learning to take over. But when you hear someone like, you know, Matthews, who's the guy in SmackDown that does it? That's going to probably replace Cole?
Phillips,
not Josh Matthews. That's so long ago. Phillips. I actually like Phillips, but like you said, like he's got someone in his ear, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure Morrow has Michael Cole giving him notes here and there, but it's not berating him, right?
Yeah. But so. He did say V-trigger.
He did say V-trigger.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was going to give him crap for that.
No.
But that was pretty... So this match was just really good storytelling, right? And it's kind of, you know, we don't get to see multi-layer feuds in NXT as much recently. It's kind of like one and done. So this was kind of nice to see the build of this feud. It was really good storytelling. And like you were saying, Joel, this is just the start of the feud with these two. And really like the story of the Breezy had him. He had him on the outside. And he couldn't get him in the ring. And that caught him. And then Dream was able to take the win from there. And then you had the kind of the selfie moment. So a nice little build. And I'm ready for round two. Hopefully it comes in NXT Toronto, which I may be at.
I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. But both these guys killed it, and I'd say this is probably a good like 4-star match.
Yeah, it was a 4-star match. I think, you know, Breeze really proved that he's just so underused. He's a really good talent. He's really phenomenal. He's one of the better in-ring competitors they have. He's one of the NXT pioneers. You sent me a tweet that Dango is like, I did win season 4 of NXT, so. Who knows? Maybe Dango comes back to NXT and maybe they're a tag team that goes after the Street Profits, which could be really fun. Or maybe it's something against Velveteen Dream with them. I would be happy for Dango to do that because Johnny Curtis, the wrestler, is also a really good wrestler. And he's been used right as far as when they're doing the backstage things with the Fashion Police. But in the ring, I think Johnny Curtis can bring it as well. So hopefully maybe he gets a chance to shine in NXT as well.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
But for Breezy, much improved and glad to see him back there. Like I told you, he was Shawshanked. He climbed through a river of shit and was able to be free, and the rain came down on him, and it was glorious that he was back in NXT.
Yeah.
And so then we get to our women's match, which this one was pretty good. This was probably, you know, I wasn't into this match as much at times. You know, this is what Baszler matches are. They're kind of a drag out brawl consistently. I think she's been much improved, but this is what you get from a Shayna Baszler type of match.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed with the overall result. But you know, I don't think it's the worst movement forward. I do think you have to get the belt off her sooner rather than later, and I think it'll probably be Candice. Or, to be honest, it'll probably be that hardcore match with Io Shirai. And I think that's a good thing. I think having Io Shirai win in a no DQ hardcore fashion is good for her, and it helps elevate her and shows how tough and gritty and... just how talented she is, and it adds another dynamic to her that I think is a good thing to have. And I mean, Baszler has slowly grown, and you've seen her grow and mature as time's gone on. But I definitely think it's time to move on, to tell a different story.
Yeah, I she's almost getting the kind of Corbin heat at times. It's like, oh, not again.
Yeah,
I think like, she's super talented.
See, and that's the thing where I think you need to refresh things. I know she lost the title once, and she's a 2-time woman NXT Women's Champion, but I would consider changing things up.
I would as well. I thought maybe it was time for Io Shirai, and if anything, like at least maybe put Candice into that match in August, just because it's time for Candice to get something. Like, she's been in NXT, what, like over a year now? Like way over a year, yeah, because she was part of like the biggest angle she's had, really physicality-wise, was the stuff against Zelina in the Almost match with Johnny.
Yeah, she needs a takeover match.
It was nice to see her, and maybe the idea next week, next show, is that she gets her opportunity to shine. It kind of also sucks, too, like, the other horsewoman, like when if they ever do these four horsewomen versus four horsemen, they just make them like geeks.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's gonna be the way it's gonna go.
Like it's never good enough for them. Like they never look good every time they get jobbed out. And it was good for Candice. I guess the highlight of this match really is the afterwards of what happened.
Yeah, there were a couple of really good spots. I thought I thought this is a good match, but this is very much a Baszler type match. I'm interested to see what happens next. They definitely have me intrigued moving forward, but I was kind of hoping for a different result.
I was hoping for a different result too. So Baszler does retain. We'll see what happens as we go forward. It looks like something with Candace and Io. That chair spot, by the way, with the moonsault was nuts.
Oh, it was crazy.
This probably like a 3.5.
Yeah.
Maybe probably a
3.75.
Yeah. And then the main event. You saw the first side of this in New York. Some people still say maybe the match of the year. Some people say the match that happened last week with the brothers is match of the year. And then these two came and had another match together and definitely put that another one into the match of the year chamber.
You know, here's the thing. I know he won't win it. I'm willing to accept it. And it's okay. And it's the way things are. But damn it if Johnny isn't one of the best wrestlers WWE has under their umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so let's go through this. He had a good tag team match against the Authors of Pain, The Revival. He's had good single matches against Almos, against Ciampa, against Adam Cole.
Ricochet,
Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black. Who else is there? Who else has he had matches with? I'm sure there's plenty of other matches that he's had in NXT.
Yeah.
Dream. I'm just bummed. I'm bummed he lost. Adam Cole is your new NXT champion, and Johnny has never successfully defended a singles title. He's a Sasha Banks of NXT, essentially.
Do they even successfully defend the tag titles?
I think they may have. I think they may have defended it successfully against TM61.
Mm-hmm.
But Johnny doesn't have much. He wins them, then he doesn't hold on long. But with that said, Adam Cole is over as hell. His talent is incredible. Like, if there's one guy that you're gonna build NXT around, it's Adam Cole. But damn it, if I didn't want Johnny to retain.
Well, from the day Adam Cole got to NXT. In August 2017, we knew eventually he was going to be NXT champion. It was just a question of when. So almost 2 years later from when he debuted in NXT, Adam Cole is finally on the legacy of an NXT world champion. And it was just a matter of time. I agree with you. You were saying this to me offline. Like, I don't really like the flip-flopping of the titles, and it's kind of something what New Japan is doing too. We'll see what happens with Okada and Jericho. But sometimes you want a few extra title reigns. If Johnny was able to win again and then maybe Cole finally wins in Toronto, I would have been okay with that. But, you know, you hope that you just not flip-flops the title. Like, I am worried like you are that, you know, maybe Cole's going to face Riddle and then Cole's going to lose and then Cole's going to come up to be ready for the main roster for Fox, which is entirely possible.
That's my fear with Johnny, that he's getting called up.
Yeah.
And, like, I know he very much feels like a guy that just loved WWE and is happy where he is, but I don't want to give up these incredible Johnny Gargano takeover matches. I still need them in my life, damn it.
I agree.
I don't want them to go away. He doesn't need to go to the NXT afterlife. I know they revived Breeze and brought him back. But please, for the love of God, do not let anyone else pass into the afterlife, because it'll just make me sad. He could have great matches with Kushida. He's got to wrestle Kushida. He has to wrestle Keith Lee, Punishment Martinez, or Damian Saint Priest, as they're calling him. Like, just no. The match itself as a whole was incredible. I love the match. I love the build-up that it took. Panama Sunrise?
Panama Sunrise. By the way, Johnny did not successfully defend the tag titles on a pay-per-view. They lost at NXT San Antonio to the Authors of Pain.
I'm just sad for little Johnny. I really am.
But yeah, it's a destroyer.
Yeah. The thing with that is they built to it. That was the move that it took to finally put Johnny away. And for Johnny to have his victory, it kind of sucks, but, you know, it is what it is.
I'm going to say this, no matter, I know, like, in this year, we've had the year of the Destroyer. The Destroyer's getting used a lot now. I will never get sick of seeing the Destroyer. I'm just going to say that. You can use Destroyers as much as you want. I will never get sick of seeing a Destroyer. It is such a cool move.
Oh, yeah. This is just the one to the outside was just great. And the fact that Johnny's knee gave out and that's why Cole finally got him was fantastic storytelling. The working of the limbs. Undisputed Era not coming out and helping him. Cole was on his own. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is a big deal. I wanted one successful retention, but there's a rumor that's been going around and we'll see what happens. But the rumor is Johnny's knee's not good. Like it sounds like he may need something. He hasn't been wrestling a whole lot. He's been doing some tag teams and not doing a lot. So I wonder if Johnny's knee is not as good, and wonder if the tag team DIY is going to be on the shelf for a bit.
Well, Hunter said that he did see him limping in the back afterwards, and they was going to go talk to him about it afterwards.
Yeah, I think Johnny's hurt. I think that also played a role in all of this as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, never take away that New York moment.
No, and you get to experience it live, so you're always going to have that. One thing I will say with Cole is there's been a lot of Kevin Owens stuff floating around, and the fact they are in NXT and is in Canada for the next one, maybe we do something with KO there. I doubt it happens, but just putting it out there.
I mean, you're not doing anything successfully with him at SmackDown, so
no. If you have that, you know, with Kevin Owens, you already know the reactions Kevin Owens gets in Canada. It would not be the worst move in the world. Just saying.
You'd really have Adam Cole be a heel for once.
Yeah, you really would. Because everyone would be going for Kevin Owens. I mean, you imagine if it was NXT Montreal.
The place would riot.
The place would riot. It'd be a whole different thing. And we should notice, too, just as going forward with future things, is Matt Riddle put out a tweet saying that he's going to stop Brock Lesnar for cash in the Money in the Bank. I'm pretty sure that's tongue-in-cheek, but just putting it out there that maybe we see Matt Riddle on the main roster on Monday. I doubt it, but I'm just putting it out there.
I don't know how many times I can say this. I don't want to see anyone on the main roster. Screw
yeah. We've seen how well that has gone for most folks, unless they're, what, Baron Corbin?
Yeah, Baron Corbin.
Or Lars.
Yeah. Yeah, those two have had the most success.
I guess Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte. What about Bayley?
We're trying.
Becky.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. As a wrestling fan, I need three things. New Japan, AEW, and NXT. I don't know what more you can ask for.
Well, right now they're all hitting. Apparently Best of Super Juniors has been fantastic. I'm looking to catch up with it in the next little bit, but it's been fantastic, apparently. And not really any doubt about that.
Apparently Robbie Eagles and El Phantasmo have looked really good. So
mm-hmm.
those are two guys to check out for the Best of Super Juniors. But what do you give this NXT main event?
This is, I think it's the 4-7-5. If not, it's a 5. It's pretty close.
I'm going to give it a 5. Screw it. The build, the limb work and the...
It probably is.
Johnny, the WWE is, I'm terrified that once Johnny gets to the main roster, he's going to be squandered.
Yeah.
Because Adam Cole could have shot Johnny and he would have sold it like death and still kicked out at 2 and the crowd would have been going crazy. Like if this is his last takeover for a while and he does need his knee, taken care of. I mean, he's been one of the big guys carrying NXT for a while, so of course you're going to have a little more wear and tear. If this is his last NXT takeover for a little bit, I'm okay with this. This can't be the last takeover, period, because he still has to get a win over that bald-headed fuck. I don't care if he's now a sympathetic babyface.
I agree. We'll see. I mean, maybe that's the thing where they both go and rehab together and then they come back, or maybe he is going to the main roster. I mean, he was going to be on the main roster beforehand, and then we kind of saw what happened from there. So,
God.
So we'll see. If anything, you would hope that, you know, lessons are learned from what this NXT show can be there. And, you know, just getting to kind of talk like Hunt, they had this great piece on Hunter afterwards. Like, it was absolutely fantastic. And it just, it almost makes everything you heard from the Moxie pod worse this week, with what's going on backstage. And you see how fantastic everything is backstage of Hunter kind of being this player coach and how much passion there is, and seeing the passion from Sean, seeing the passion from Regal. I don't know who the producer that he has that has that was next to him for a lot, but he seems to have a nice idea of what's going on. And you know, obviously Albert's adding a lot. There's a lot of cohesiveness, and there seems to be a lot of fun. And I thought the biggest parallel with everything, you know, you've obviously heard everything from the Moxie pod this week, but when you had the backstage of NXT in New York, and those guys are having a ball watching that match, and you saw the picture that came out today of those guys in the back, and then there's a script, and then Hunter's face when he's in Gorilla on WrestleMania.
Just a very different feel.
Very different. You could tell, I mean, it doesn't help that you can tell Vince is absolutely pissed off at the end. Probably because of the botched finish. Because he didn't think it was a good match. He's like, God damn it, why did I put the women last? Probably stuff that's going through Vince's head at that time. But everyone just kind of just looks like either content or pretty much miserable in the back during that time. And the NXT back room in Gorilla just looked such a different feeling. It felt like guys that loved wrestling, that are enjoying watching wrestling, much like how we keep on hearing about Tony Khan being a fan. You watch that with Hunter and Sean, and it gets you actually more mad that this is in within the company, and then you see what the Monday nights and Tuesday nights are delivering.
Yeah, it's such a vastly different product. And it's one of the reasons why, like I said, NXT is highly enjoyable. I mean, we have critiques and we have some gripes with what happened tonight, but that's not going to take away from me watching NXT. I'm going to want to watch to follow and see where this goes, and then form my opinion based on that.
Absolutely. So now this is a really good exclamation point on NXT on the 25th. Of the takeover shows. The takeover shows have absolutely been a delight. I don't think, although I was a little more harder on the London show, but you really have not had a time when you watch an NXT show and you leave and like, that was terrible. You were always wanting more. It was another 2.5 hour show.
So delightful. So now we wait for Extreme Rules. That's the next pay-per-view in WWE. There's no other pay-per-view coming.
There's nothing that's the equivalent of WrestleMania. Nothing.
As someone that has gone to WrestleMania and saw WrestleMania, that annoys me. That annoys me a great deal. And I will not be watching.
It should piss you off. It should piss you off. You know what? Next week, you know, we do have a big pay-per-view coming next month in July. We have Slammiversary coming, so we'll preview Slammiversary. We'll talk about what's going on Slammiversary next week, because that's like the next big show, right?
Yeah.
Or Fyter Fest. There's no other big shows going on next week.
Moxley's facing Juice in the right. Best of Super Junior Finals on June 5th. So
there you go.
We're busy. We're not watching anything else.
Nope, nothing else happens next week. Just Triple H facing a guy that liked a lot of AEW tweets this past week.
There you go.
Well, yeah, another great NXT show. Thanks, everyone. Continue to follow us everywhere. At One Fall Pod is now on Twitter. Make sure you go check out that. We're going to be beefing up that contact at one under dash fall under dash pod. I know it's a complicated one, but that's the IG. We've got stuff coming up there. And make sure you follow everything at We Talk Podcast, Stick Boy, Fresh Take. Lots of great content coming. And we'll keep it up here at One Fall. Joel, until next time, cheers.
As I sit here and eat a root beer float that was delivered to me halfway through this podcast to help with my sadness that Johnny Gargano is no longer NXT champion. I'm sad.
Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. And good night.